As you know, I don't think it's any secret, I'm a big sports fan. I played all that I could growing up. I love to watch it. My downtime revolves around some type of ball. It was so thrilling to me as a parent this afternoon to hear my son say when he saw the Panther logo on the television, "Luke." I loved it. He has no idea what he's saying, but he's pulling for my favorite player. My life outside of the gospel of Christ, I love sports. I've been involved with sports in some way long enough to experience the thrill of defeat, or excuse me, the thrill of victory. Not very much a thrill. But to tag along with that, more than I've liked, I've also been involved with sports long enough to understand the agony of defeat, all right? A lot less of the thrill of victory, a lot more of the agony of defeat. I remember my 8th or 9th grade year, I was playing on our JV basketball team. We set a record that year. It was phenomenal. We went defeated. What you laughing for? I never forgot that season. We went 0 for 27. 0 for 27. That was a rough year. Our basketball coach, Mr. Giles, man, you should have heard him at the practices and in the locker rooms. There were some times over and over again. He did a lot of time trying to help us remember things to help us get through that year of defeat. The next year, we won our first game up at Tabernacle Christian in Hickory. I tell those, I'm preaching chapel there here soon. I tell them every time I go that when we won that day, I felt like we won the championship, man. It wasn't that we won the championship. It was just the first time we won in 2 years. We understand the thrill of victory. We understand the agony of defeat. And it's apparent from Paul's writing to Timothy that he was certainly facing some discouraging and defeating times. In chapter 1, he was down, and Paul said he needed to stir up his gift without fear. When we opened up chapter 2 a couple of weeks ago, we see that Paul challenged him to endure hardness even though he was facing a lot of difficulty and a lot of trouble. Now, when you come to verse number 8, in the midst of Timothy's discouragement, Paul says, "Timothy, remember." Look at it. It's the first word of verse number 8. He says, "Remember. I know you're discouraged. I know you're defeated. I know you're suffering a lot of difficulty right now. But there's some things you need not forget. Timothy, there's some things you need to remember." And I wonder tonight if you feel defeated like Timothy did. Do you feel discouraged? Are you suffering trouble? If so, there's some things God wants us to remember in these moments of defeat. And here's the first thing. We see it in verse 8. He says, number 1, remember the hope of the resurrection. Defeated, discouraged, suffering trouble, remember the hope of the resurrection. That verb tense of the word remember here, it carries the idea of keep on remembering. Keep on remembering. Never forget. Never forget. You may forget where you put your car keys. You may even forget where you put your kid. But don't ever forget what God has done for you. Don't ever forget the Lord's resurrection. Remember. Remember the hope of it. Look at what he says in verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He's saying, remember that Jesus fought the greatest battle and won the greatest prize. Remember that Jesus endured the greatest suffering, yet he achieved the greatest victory. Remember that Jesus experienced pain before pleasure, persecution before exaltation, hatred before worship, death before resurrection. If you're defeated, you need to remember that Christ went through that as well. He faced suffering. He faced what appeared to be moments of defeat. There were times where he even asked of the Heavenly Father, God, if it's not your will, or if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Do I have to go through this trial? That's what Jesus was praying. Before the resurrection, there was death. Before exaltation, persecution. Before pleasure, there was pain. And the reason why that is so significant is because when you and I remember that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it brings the hope that no matter what brings us down, God will raise us up. That's the lesson he wants us to learn. Timothy, you're defeated, I understand. You're discouraged, I get it. You're down, we all get there. But you need to remember that Jesus didn't stay dead and that Jesus didn't stay defeated. He resurrected from the grave, and that makes a world of difference in your life and my life when we face those moments of defeat, because we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay there. Because Jesus rose again, God's going to bring you out of this trial. Because Jesus gained victory, you're going to gain victory. Because of the hope we have that Jesus came through the difficulty, you can come through the difficulty. I'm as guilty as anyone, but most of us forget that if God the Father allowed the perfect sinless Son, to suffer hardship, then why in the world should you and I, who are imperfect, expect no hardship? And listen, I'm just as guilty. Sometimes we get in this little Christian paradigm where we think that just because we belong to the family of God, that God's done something bad when he allows difficulty to come. Have you forgot what he allowed his son Jesus to go through? Why should I be treated any better than the perfect sinless Son of God? No, I need to expect defeat. I need to expect sorrow. I need to expect suffering. God promised it. You understand that? God promised difficulty. And the truth is, I'm going to be defeated. But I'm guaranteed victory because of the hope of Jesus Christ. I'm promised the same resurrecting power in my life. You might say, well, what does a resurrection have anything to do with what I'm going through? It has everything to do with what you're going through. Had Jesus not resurrected from the dead, friend, then you have every right to walk on this earth for the rest of your life moping and mad at God. But that's not how the story ended. Jesus rose. He brought victory. And he gave every one of us who trust him the same hope that whatever has brought us down, he will raise us up. You see, the resurrection is not just a historical event to be studied. It's not just something to be preached on Easter Sunday. No, it's a powerful truth that our hope is in the God who can raise us up out of the moments of defeat in our life. And I'm preaching to you as I'm preaching to me, and I'm preaching to me as I'm preaching to you. And the message tonight is, don't quit. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Timothy, don't quit. Chapter 1, stir up that gift that you have. Timothy, don't quit. Endure the hardness. Verse 8, Timothy, don't quit. Remember that God gives us hope because he came through that difficulty. Member of Laurel Baptist Church, don't quit. Don't quit. Remember the hope of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4 says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, don't quit. Let's hold it fast. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find grace to help in time of need. Are you in a time of need tonight? Then there's grace to help you in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen to what he went through. He called it joy. The joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against themselves, lest you get wearied and quit. Don't quit. Consider Christ before you quit. Consider all that Jesus went through you for you, went through for you before you put it all to the side. Before you get weary and hang it up, look to the empty tomb. Because there we have the victory that there is hope for our situation. You're facing a moment of defeat. Remember the hope of the resurrection. Whatever's got you down, God can raise you up. Number two. He says, remember the power of his word. In moments of defeat, remember the power of his word. Look at verse number 9. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God, now, it's not bound. Paul says, sometimes I suffer trouble. And there are times that I suffer even for the gospel's sake. But know this, that even when I'm imprisoned, the word of God, it's never bound. The word of God, it's never imprisoned. This is a powerful verse, church. Because this speaks of boldly of the unstoppable power of the word of God. That no matter what's going on in my life, and no matter what's going on in our society, they may lock every preacher there is up on the face of this earth, but they can never stop the power of God's word. Never. And Paul said, yes, Timothy, I suffer just like you suffer. And I go through difficulties just like you go through difficulties. But don't you ever forget, son, that nothing can stop the word of God from bringing me out of this defeat. Amen. Nothing. It can't be imprisoned. You can't lock it up. You can't put it away. You see, no matter what happens in my life and in yours, the power of God's word can help me. Hebrews 4:12, it's the word of God that is quick and powerful. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word, God speaking here, my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereon I sent it. In other words, Jesus said, there is not a word that I've ever spoken that doesn't have the power to change your situation. It's powerful. Powerful. And I'm afraid that I'm guilty and you're guilty when we face defeat. The most powerful thing we have in life, we don't even go to. The most powerful thing that can never be stopped, that can never be imprisoned, that can never be yielded any other way, we don't make it a part of our lives. And what we need to be reminded of tonight, that no matter how down, discouraged, defeated, or whatever trouble I may be in, if I go to the book, there's not a word that God has ever spoken that doesn't have the power to help my situation. Get into the book. Read it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Remember its power. David said in Psalm 119:81, my soul fainteth One of the preachers we recently had may have even mentioned that. You hear a lot of people say sometimes that depression, you know, that's not a biblical thing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's what David was saying here. My soul fainteth. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm down. But I hope in thy word. He realized that no matter what had come into his life, he could hope in the power of God's word. Are you in this book, friend? Every day of your life, are you going to the place that has the source of strength, the sustenance, of perseverance? Are you going to the very place that can help you get through this little lull that you're in? The word of God is not, cannot, and will never be bound or imprisoned, Paul said. Never. What happens if one day they lock up all the preachers? Well, they're going to do it. But they can never lock up God's word nor stop its power. By the way, and maybe I shouldn't even say this, but maybe I should take a sip of water before I say it to make sure that I should say it. Before we get so tied up in a political frenzy, let us remember that the power of God's word has never been dependent on man's freedom. What about our freedoms? We ought to thank God for them. There's people that gave their lives for our freedom. But if our freedoms get taken away, it doesn't mean that my salvation is gone. It doesn't mean the word has become void. It doesn't mean that God is finished. No, we keep going as we've always been gone because this book has never been dependent on freedom. Never. I think that's what Paul is saying here. Timothy just maybe had this mindset that everything had to be hunky-dory, that everything had to be easy and smooth in order for the word to be effective. No, no, no. He said things could be crumbling around you everywhere, and the word will always, always be effective. And some of us tonight are remaining in the agony of defeat because we've underestimated the power of this book. What should we do? Allow it to work in your life. It's like what Mike said a while ago. There's moments in his life he gets down, but he just knows. He just knows if he can get to the book. I'm sure in those moments there's been plenty of times where you've been so emotionally overwhelmed, and Michelle as well, that it would have just been easy to stay at home. I'm going through too much. I'm just going to stay home. Not even going to go to church. But by his own testimony, it was by being there that God gave him just what he needed to get through it. That's what I'm saying to you. Allow God's word to work in your life. Don't shut it out. There's power in the book. Allow it to work in your life. Yield to its daily necessity. Meditate regularly on its truth. Come ready to learn God's word and expect victory from its power. I was going through a little personal thing as I studied this. It was just amazing to me how in that moment of a little bit of difficulty, these six verses just brought great power in my life. That there's nothing that I'll ever face, Jude, and there's nothing you'll ever face that God's word can't fix. Nothing. So Paul comes to Timothy and says, Timothy, I know you're down. It's okay to be down. We all get down. But you got to snap out of it. You got to get back. And you need to remember, there's hope in the resurrection. Whatever's got you down, God can raise you up because he raised his son Jesus up. And if he raised his son Jesus up, he's going to raise you up. Don't stay down. Let him raise you up. There's hope in the resurrection. And Timothy, you got to remember the power of God's word. They may imprison me. They may imprison you. As a matter of fact, Paul was in prison when he wrote this. He was sitting in that jail cell and he said, even think about this. I'm locked up, but the word of God is still getting out. And then, in conclusion, he says, Timothy, when you're defeated, when you're down, when you're discouraged, remember the faithfulness of our God. Remember the faithfulness of our God. I love that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies, new faithfulness I see. You know why I don't need to stay defeated? Because God is ever so faithful. Notice the word in verse number 10. It's the word therefore. Paul said, I'm willing, even though I'm in prison, even though I'm going through hardness, I'm willing to endure this hardness. I'm willing to experience this suffering because God may use it in the lives of others to bring them to Him. Don't miss it. In verse number 9, he says, listen, I'm in trouble because of the gospel. I'm locked up in prison because of the gospel. Therefore, but I will endure it. But I will go through it. But I will deal with it. Why? For the elect's sake, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. You think Paul enjoyed prison? No, he didn't enjoy prison. Who enjoys prison? But he said, you know what? I'm going to willingly go through it. I'm going to willingly endure it because I recognize just by me being in here and dealing with this suffering and going through this trial that God could use it, that God will use it, that God will use it to help somebody else even if I never get out of this dungeon. You ever thought about that? That maybe what you're going through tonight is not about you. Right, my brother could testify to this. If there's something my dad just kind of, I can see him right now as a young teenager, even as a young adult, even last week. Him taking that finger and saying, have you ever thought about it? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. I can see him right now. Not about you. That's where we get, don't we? Woe is me. Look at what I'm facing. Look at what I'm going through. Dad, I've had 12 families leave since May. Have you ever thought about it's not about you? Well, fine, then I ain't going to talk to you no more. I'm going to call my friends. I need some pity. Somebody help me. Don't you love a good, honest dad? I needed that. Just maybe, whatever you're going through tonight, God has thought enough of you to trust you to go through whatever it is you're going through because He knows that His glory is going to shine through your defeat. He knows that His glory, His salvation, His holiness is going to shine through your suffering so that someone else, some family, some friend, some co-worker will see the mercy and the grace of God. Maybe this suffering's not about you. Maybe it's about everybody else who needs Jesus Christ. I know that doesn't make it any easier. I remember my wife. We went through two miscarriages. The second was pretty strong. It was never concluded that it was, but the doctor some insinuated it could have been multiples. So I've either got two kids in heaven or I got 20 kids in heaven. I have no idea. I may have got the Duggars beat. Who knows? Mike and Michelle can never really compare to what you're going through, but I remember those days I asked a lot of questions. Why am I going through this? You know, one of the things that got me the most, and some of you have been through this. By the way, that was one of the most helpful things to me. I thought miscarriages were such an unusual thing. When I stood up and told our church, those of you who remember it, we went from announcing our first child on Sunday. Kathleen had the miscarriage on Tuesday. We had no idea it was happening. And then on Wednesday, I had to stand back before the church and say, you know what? You rejoice with me. Some of you had already bought gifts by the time Sunday night had rolled around. And then we had to just stand up right then a couple days later and say we had lost the baby. It was tough. And I remember one of the things that we were going through, it was so tough. I would get honed into these news stations. You hear these kids being abused and parents mistreating them. And then we would deal with it in our church where parents would just have no regard or no help for their kids. And I remember playing that game. I don't think it's really fair that all these kids or parents are abusing their kids, and yet I can't have one to actually I'm going to take good care of. Listen, maybe you haven't been there, but I've been there. I remember in those moments, and Kathleen and I talked about that a lot, maybe us losing kids had nothing to do with us. Mike and Michelle, maybe it had nothing to do with you. There was no sin in your life. God wasn't trying to bring judgment upon you. Maybe it had everything to do with those 60 people who are now saved and going to heaven that would have not gotten saved other than Caitlin's life. What a great, great miracle. And sometimes we just get in our little circle, our little hole, and we forget. God is so faithful. And that's why I should be okay with my suffering. That's why I should accept it. That's why I should endure it. Because even if it brings death, verse 11, even if it brings death, look at it, even if it brings death, we can hope in the fact that we're going to live forever with Christ. Caitlin's not with us today, but she's just waiting. She got ahead of us. She's just waiting for us to get there. We're not separated for eternity. We're going to be together for eternity. No matter how difficult the suffering is, even if it brings death, I'm going to see my kids. You're going to see your kid. You're going to see your daughter. We're going to live eternally. Verse 12 says, even if we suffer momentarily, we're going to eternally reign in perfection. He says, I know you're going through a lot of it here. But one day you're going to have a throne. And one day you're going to wear a crown. You're going to reign with Jesus. This momentary suffering, this little bit of trial you're going through, it's nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us, Paul says. Oh, and Paul says one more thing, verse 13. You know why you should endure it? You know why you should be okay and accept the suffering you're going through? Because even when you lack faith, look at it, verse 13, don't miss this, underline it if you need it. I underlined it three times in my Bible. Because even when I've doubted him, even when I've lacked faith, even when I don't trust him, yet he, in spite of me, he, in spite of me, he abideth. Even when I don't trust him, he's still faithful. That's powerful. Because I'd be a liar to you if I told you there was moments that I always trust Jesus. I don't always trust Jesus like I should. There are moments I take it in my own hands. There are moments where I demand explanations before I commit trust. And this is hard. But then when I come to verse 13, I'm so convicted, yet I'm so thankful. I'm convicted that God is so good to me when I'm not so good to him. I'm thankful that even though I lack faith, he is faithful. He is faithful. You can always depend upon him. You can always trust him. Listen, you may feel defeated tonight. You might even think it's God's fault. Listen, God ain't let you down. God's not let you down. He's been faithful the whole time. And in the prison, in the middle, you know, it's easy to talk about it on the other side. That's why I appreciate Kirby Campbell so much. It's easy to talk about it after you've been healed. But stand in that pulpit when you're still going through it, man, and to say God is faithful, man, that's powerful. That's where Paul was. Paul was going through it. He wasn't freed. He knew he was dying in prison. Yet in that prison, he said, I'm in this place because of God. But he, Timothy, he has stayed faithful. 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 Maybe you just need to be reminded tonight, as I needed to be reminded, that in the moments of defeat, there is hope in the resurrection. We have faithfulness in God. We have the power of His Word. Even when I'm not there for Him, He's there for me. Even when I doubt Him, He's faithful. Even though I shut Him out, He's still waiting to let me back in. Yet He abided faithful. I don't even have to ask you to amen if God's been faithful to you. I know God's been faithful to you. He says He has. And maybe that's what we need tonight. Because you can't stay defeated. You can't remain down. You got to remember some things so you can get back up and keep going. Remember, there's victory. If you're down, God will raise you up. Remember, there's power in His Word. Don't shut it out. Run to it. Remember that He is always faithful.